Welcome to the Happy Being Well podcast, where we talk about strategies and insights so you can live happy being well with your host, Rita Ferrugia. This podcast is presented by happybeingwell.com, your online store providing the best in all-natural wellness products, such as natural essential oils, all-natural bath products, all-natural facial masks, all-natural deodorants, irresistible leggings, crystals, including crystal home decor and kitchen items, herbal teas, natural sleep aids, and so much more natural wellness goodies at happybeingwell.com. Free shipping on any order within the USA at happybeingwell.com. Now enjoy the show.
Hey guys, welcome to the Happy Being Well podcast. We have an exciting guest, Brianna Media. She is a New York Times bestselling author of Never Leave the Dogs Behind. And it's a really interesting memoir of her experience. It's a moving account of a woman walking the line between independence and isolation when she moves to the Southwest desert with her four dogs. In her debut memoir, Nowhere for Very Long, Brianna reflected on her life as a nomad, free to roam some of the most beautiful lands in America. Now and Never Leave the Dogs Behind, the van life enthusiast faces the profound darkness that comes from a life blown apart. Her only solace is the support of her dogs. Brianna does not hold back about the suffering she endures after a painful divorce and the traumatic accident involving one of her dogs that led to the creation of an online bullying campaign against her. Brianna's story is about finding courage to stand over when the dream life you thought you were living collapses around your feet. So Brianna, welcome to the Happy Being Well podcast. I'm so excited to talk about this because I do find people, you know, living in isolation for periods of time fascinating. I've experienced it myself. I didn't go anywhere like into a remote location. It was just literally like in my house in North America. But I did experience that period of isolation. I would imagine yours is much profound because at least I would have moments where I'd go to like the grocery store to interact with people, or maybe once in a while go to a friend's house, you know, like it wasn't as extreme. But I do remember like having like really getting in touch with myself and having profound insights. So I'm just really interested in like what's been your experiences during that time period living in isolation, and what did you get from that?
So it's so interesting because I feel like one of the most cathartic things that I wrote about in this book was sort of realizing that my hyper independence was a trauma response. You know, and I have such mixed feelings about that time period because I know that my isolation went from trying to prove this independence to realizing that I was so deeply hurt by the world that I wanted to hide. So it went from me seeking something for myself to just realizing maybe I'm just hiding away from the world, and yet still having this be the most transformative time period in my life. I had never spent this much time alone. I had never lived alone. I had always had roommates. I was with my ex-husband for 11 years. And so I thought that I knew what it was to be alone. And this was just on a whole different level. And I sort of felt like the biggest thing I took from it was learning to self-soothe. Because even, you know, when I'm up at my property, I don't have cell phone service even. So I am like, truly, there's no, let me call my mom and complain about something. It was like, I made it my mission to sort of deal with the fluxes of what was going on in my life entirely on my own. And it was both transformative. It got a little unhealthy at times, but ultimately I cannot imagine who I would be had I not taken that time to really put myself away and just sit with myself. It's so uncomfortable. I get why people don't want to do it. I get why it's so daunting. And, you know, the art of sort of doing nothing and being okay with, you know, having, you know, no one to really talk to. I talk to my dogs a lot. I sound like a crazy person usually, but, you know, yeah, just having this space to sit with myself and nothing else. And of course the dogs just taught me so much about things I didn't really want to uncover about myself at first. I think when you're by yourself, you come face to face with some really ugly things that, you know, when we have to sit with something uncomfortable, like my go-to used to be like, I don't want to sit with this. I want to give this to someone else. I want to post about this on the internet, or I want to, you know, yell at my ex-husband about this, or I want to do, you know, and when I finally just took that time to say, like, sit with this, breathe through it, figure it out, it truly changed my whole life. Because even though I'm not, you know, constantly up out in the middle of the desert by myself anymore, I still am just able to have this sense of peace within myself that did not come until I had experienced that sort of isolation.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely. That's kind of been my experience, you know, when you're alone with yourself for a long period of time, insights just kind of come to you and about yourself or, you know, life in general, how you're navigating around the world, how you're showing up. You know, you kind of really become a real observer to who you are. Yes. You know, like some of your blind spots kind of get uncovered, you mm-hmm. know? So you start to like, oh, okay, so that was what I was, you know, so you become a better version of yourself as a Absolutely. Result of it. But you're right, it is uncomfortable in the beginning. And yeah. It's because we all naturally are, you know, or well, you know, in my programming, you know, I feel like I was conditioned, we're trained to always be around people. Like I remember going to high school and like I was in the, you know, it's cool to always be, you know, out and about, you know. I think my take on it, I think we've just been really conditioned to always, well, during my time period of going to high school in my generation. So, you know, it's uncomfortable. You feel like you always, like, especially when an uncomfortable situation happens where you want to vent. You mentioned, you know, mm-hmm. you don't have your mom to talk to because you're out in isolation. There's no phone signal. And so, so talk to us about in those moments, like, what did you do? Did you journal? Did you, like, talk yourself through it? Like, how did you self-soothe in those moments when you wanted to reach out to somebody that we're all kind of naturally inclined to do?
Yeah. I turned to, I don't want to call it manual labor, but I turned to when I mean, I felt like everything was sort of out of my control. I was, you know, my day, there was no structure to my days. When there's no one around, you can stay in bed all day. You can lay around and do nothing. And so not only did I have to self-soothe, I had to self-motivate. You know, and my dogs were a huge part of that. You can't stay in bed all day when you have four dogs, at least not for multiple days in a row. They'll start to go crazy. But I found this confidence when I was doubting myself emotionally, mentally. I would look around this property and be like, I'm going to build a trail. I'm going to chainsaw this tree down. I'm going to like it. And these were things that made me feel independent and capable in a way that was just very different mm-hmm. for me. I think probably, you know, for a lot of women, that's not, you know, I had a very handy husband for 11 years who did kind of all that sort of stuff. And I never like looked at that as something that could be very like satisfying to me and almost make me feel more capable of being on my own. So I could have a really rough day, but I had accomplished, like I had even just an IKEA book of instructions to build something. I was like, this is start to finish. I know how this is supposed to go. I know what the end product is going to be. And I can just pour myself into that because I know that I can finish that. I can get through that. And so it was like creating these little tasks to kind of bolster myself, and sort of provide what I think I was really seeking, which was I was trying to prove to myself that I could be alone, that I could live this sort of wild kind of nomadic, alternative lifestyle on my own. And so little things like that, just sort of being able to like take care of myself. And, you know, my trailer, it was completely off the grid. There's was no running water, no temperature control, none of the amenities, no heat, no, my fridge is always on the fritz because it runs on propane and that line's all messed up. You know, it was sort of this constant, I need to take care of myself. I need to continue to get up every day and do these sort of manual things. And that was so it became like meditative for me, you know, going into town and getting my water and bringing my, you know, illegally tossing my garbage into a dumpster that I'm supposedly not supposed to use, but whatever, you know, just these little kind of tasks. And I would get myself through difficult moments when I felt like I couldn't handle something in here by handling something that was right in front of me. And even that would come down to finding a new place I wanted to explore, looking on, you know, my satellite maps and seeing like, there's a dirt road I've always wanted to go down. And so having this sort of physical accomplishment and things that at the end of the day, I can say, you know, I cried for many hours this morning, but I still had to get up and take care of myself. I still had to find a way to survive quite literally. You know, I mean, obviously I always had my ways to get into town and I had, you know, the ability to have food and water and all of that stuff, but that's something that we just sort of breeze over. And, you know, when we tend to like live in, you know, suburbia or whatever it is, you don't think about where am I going to get my water or do I have enough water for the day or when do I need to time my trips into town? And that intentionality just really took me out of myself. It took away a lot of the spiraling thoughts because it was like, this is what you need to do. And this is how you're going to do it. And when I felt like I couldn't get through, I'm like, well, I know how to get my own water. I know how to keep myself alive. I know how to take care of my dogs up here. I'm learning things about myself. I'm finding strength in myself. All of a sudden I look down, I got muscles on my arms. Like it was, you know, it was cool. And it was an unexpected reaction. I think I've never really thought of myself as someone who would like just decide to go learn how to use a chainsaw on my own and not ask anyone for help. And then, you know, wear like a bathing suit top while chainsawing trees down. You know, it was kind of like, I just leaned into anything that was going to make me feel accomplished. And for whatever reason, I just kind of fell in love with that aspect of getting my hands in the dirt out there, grounding in every sense of the word, I guess.
I love that. So obviously this experience obviously built your self-esteem and your self-confidence, you know, more than before that you're doing all this alone and you're learning so many skill sets. And most importantly, getting to know yourself much better. What did you learn more about yourself during this journey?
I am one tough son of a. that's really honestly what I've learned. And I think when you're in it and you're just in survival mode and you're going through just, you know, the collapse of everything. I mean, I did not see myself being alone. I was pretty blindsided by my divorce, by the end of my marriage, by the way that it ended. And so, you know, I kind of felt like my foundation was not even really based on me. Like that was sort of hard to realize that I had, my identity was this van and my ex and all the things we would do together and all of these adventures we would take. But then I was like, without all of that, who am I? And I think that having to just sit with yourself is like the only way you're ever going to really figure that out. Because you can throw yourself into these tasks, right? Like I just talked about. But at the end of the day, you still have to learn a bit more about yourself. And I learned that I am this person. I am the strong person that I wrote about in my first book. Because, you know, in between putting out my first book and now the release of this second one, a lot of things changed. And so I kind of started to doubt if I was this person that I thought I was, this independent, adventurous, you know. And so I think my time up there made me realize, like, that wasn't just a phase. You weren't just sort of adapting, you know, your ex's personality and interests. Like, that really did become a huge part of my life. And it's hard, I think, when you've been with one person for so long and everything is we and our, and this was our dream and we were going to do this. And, you know, it's scary to think like, well, that marriage is over and that's for the best. But I loved the life that I was living, you know, during that relationship, the activities I was doing, the travel. And I so hoped that I would be able to keep that up on my own. And what I learned through all of this is not only can I keep it up on my own, I can do more. I feel like I can finally say that what I gained is bigger than what I lost. And it took me a while to get there. But all of a sudden I realized, like, I am the only one behind the driver's seat for the first time in my whole life. And having this like open road in front of me was really daunting, but also day by day, I just felt more and more up to the challenge. And you know, at the end of my book, I sort of conclude with this trip that I took to Baja by myself with the dogs. And I was down there for 6 weeks, and that was spending the winter in Mexico was always something that my ex and I said we were going to do. And we just never could because of his work. And all of a sudden I found myself crossing the border, and it was like, this is my life. I'm on my time. I can go where I want. I can do what I please. And suddenly it just felt so freeing as opposed to terrifying. And so I think, I was surprised by my own resilience. And I think that when you're in that situation, you feel like you're barely surviving. But now looking back, I'm like, wow, I did a lot for someone who was on the brink, for someone who was really walking a very fine line with my mental health and, you know, even just my desire to stick around, frankly. And then at the same time, I was like, it was like these two versions of me, like this sad, broken version. And then this other version that was like, no, we're going to get through this. And it's going to be better. And that voice was very quiet, sometimes completely mute, but it was always sort of there, and it got louder and louder and louder. And I think that it's kind of like, what's that sort of cliche there, you know, there's like the wolf you feed or whatever. It's kind of like, I sort of decided I can either just die. I can just let this completely overtake me, or I can say that was a beautiful time in my life and I can continue doing the things that I love, but in a new way. And in a way that really, like, this is my identity. It's not tied to anything but me. No one can take it from me. Nothing can blindside me. Like, I did this on my own. I bought property. I'm living the life that I wanted to. And it's so surreal to be sitting here and saying that to you after, after that time period. And yeah, so I think I was impressed with my ability to turn it around. I think I got very close to the brink of really wondering if it was still worth it for me to be here. And, you know, in the darkest sense of the word, and, you know, between my dogs and just this little inkling that, like, maybe there's something more. I think we got to stick it out. It's so hard, but, you know, keep building trails
and cutting trees down, and day by day stronger, you know, it was a journey for sure. And I'm still on it. We're on it forever, right? Like you never stop growing and changing and getting better. And I still value my alone time. You know, I'm engaged and, you know, my fiance, I spend lots of time at his house. And, but I just went to Baja again by myself for 5 weeks. And my solitude is a non-negotiable for me. And I never felt like that before I spent this time alone. And it's just such a core part of me now. I almost wish I could prescribe solitude to everybody who's going through something. And it kind of sounds counterintuitive, right? Like you're not taught really growing up, you know, we talk all about support systems and everyone needs support systems, but I think we can sort of neglect that, like, you really have to build that within yourself before you can rely on anybody else. Because as I learned, things can happen and change very quickly. And suddenly, if you don't know how to support yourself and take care of yourself, you know, that's something that we should really be encouraging in younger people, is learn how to spend time on your own, be okay with just being on your own. And that looks different for everybody. You know, you don't have to go buy property in the desert and hide away from the world for months at a time. But I think it's just so important, this idea of solitude, and it is scary. But, you know, I also think about all of the great, like, writers and musicians and all of these people who go and, like, sequester themselves. And it makes perfect sense to me, because the world is so loud. There's so many distractions constantly. And that's another thing that, like, if you're a creative or you feel like you're sort of stuck, I just felt like with nothing else around, it was like a cork popped and all of this sort of creativity and ideas started coming back, because what else are you going to do up there? You know, like, and it was great. It was almost like my childlike imagination started to come back as well. Cause there's no one around to be like, what you're doing isn't cool. You know, you just do whatever you want. And, I cherish that time.
I love that. I'm a big advocate for solitude. That is what I prescribe to myself. I actually really enjoy solitude. And I love that. So you are right. I love that you brought up that artists purposely do go into solitude to create their art, whether that's writing a book or a script or painting something or getting new ideas. And not only that, you know, some of our iconic geniuses, you know, Albert Einstein, Nikola Tesla, you know, they're known to be loners, like they're to be alone, right? So there is something to be said about, you know, because when you're alone, you're not being distracted. You're not having the chatter of other people's opinions around you. Because people, for the most part, like to control. They feel safe when they're controlling you in some way, like either your perspective on something, or they want to insert their opinion onto your actions or how you're navigating your life. It makes their ego feel good, like, oh, you know, I think that you should do this, and da da da, or maybe they want to be a whatever it is, right? But the real truth is, you only know what's best for you. Nobody else does, because they're speaking from their life perspective, their life experiences, their you know, knowledge of what they've acquired through their lifetime. And as we know, all of, you know, each individual human is very limited in what they experience and what knowledge that they've gathered, you know, so they're just inflicting a very subjective bias opinion, right? So, and also when you listen to your inner voice, your inner wisdom, that's how you really tap into your intuition, and that's how you know what's really best for you, and that's really truly where the real solutions and answers lie. So a lot of, also, you mentioned, you know, that you you know, you were going through a divorce. Like when you took this journey, it was after a divorce. So a lot of women can relate to that, you know, after spending so much time, you know, in a relationship, a committed relationship with your partner, and you do things together and, you know, especially being a woman and a male, typically, you know, a male, there's more of a dominant, you know, we do like we're nurturing. So, you know, that balance of yin and yang. So when you lose that other yin and yang, that masculine energy, you know, you can feel a little, I guess you could say like guideless, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So, and also, yeah, what you start to, you mentioned identity through when you're speaking that, you know, part of your identity was that marriage, that your male partner. So when you went on this journey and you're saying, you know, you're talking about your identity in terms of like, it's no longer contingent upon him anymore. Now, did you feel like you reinvented your identity, or did you feel like you just tapped back into your identity before you entered the marriage?
I think I tapped back into something. And I sort of felt like, you know, on the surface, my ex had done kind of like a lot of the manual labor type of set, like you said, sort of like traditional roles. And so for that reason, when our marriage ended, I think that's why to me it felt like, well, I can't continue this. But I realized that all along, I was the one who had the ideas. It was my idea to buy that van. It was my idea to move into it. It was my idea. I mean, I quit my job. My ex never quit his job. You know, I was all in. And over time, it started to feel like, yes, it was our endeavor. And I certainly couldn't have done, you know, I certainly couldn't have lived the life that I was living without him at the time. But ultimately, I had to remind myself, like, you were not along for the ride. Like, you might have not always been in the driver's seat, but I was still in the front seat. Like, I still, you know, this does still belong to me. And I think that when a marriage ends, it's so hard to sift through and say which part of that was me, which part of that was us, which part of that was him. And I just kind of realized, like, there's not a whole lot. You don't get a whole lot out of that, out of going back through and trying to dissect. It's all so intertwined that it's really not worth it. And so finally, I just had to kind of have this like mantra in my mind. And I just would tell myself all the time, this was your idea to begin with. And I have always known that I wanted to live differently. And that was 100% before I met my ex-husband. You know, I remember one of the first conversations we had, I was 19 and I was like, get me out of here. Like, yeah, I don't want to live here. I want to go west. There's got to be more than this kind of like rat race world. And so, yeah, I felt like I was really beat up and blindsided. The internet stuff really messes with your psyche. And it took me some time to like remember who I was, and remember that, you know, it took two at the time, but I was the driving force, you know, and that was such a nice reminder to come back to after feeling like an imposter or, you know, like feeling very lost. Is it's like, I chose this path a long time ago and I'm still on it. And I'm kind of limping and hobbling and, you know, the road is really rocky at the moment, but I am still on the road that I wanted to be on. And I think realizing you don't need a partner in that is really freeing. I think, you know, again, even like being on your own, not just like physically, but like in a relationship situation, I mean, it just, I think that especially for women, it is so empowering and so eye-opening. And I just, yeah, I think the loss of a marriage, unfortunately, is very relatable for a lot of people. And I think women especially just get so worried because there's like a caretaking aspect of us that we're sort of wondering where to put it. And then we feel selfish when we put it here. And so I think that like that is so important for women to realize, and men, anybody post separation, divorce, that you can regain your own identity, and it doesn't have to be a new identity. You know, it's always sad when a relationship ends. And a lot of times I think we get so frustrated or angry over the way that something ended that we want to dismiss all of what it was. And I can't do that. That was a third of my life, you know, and that was my identity. And it's okay to maintain things from your former life, even if it's painful in the beginning, because it reminds you of that person, or you feel like, I guess I didn't know as much about this as I thought I did. You know, this other person was sort of along for the ride with me. But yeah, I think I felt a little, I don't want to say guilty, but I think when I started to find this like joy post-divorce, I felt a little bit like a failure, sort of, because it's not that I wanted to celebrate divorce. Obviously, divorce rates are really high. It's always very sad. It's sad when there's children involved. My parents were divorced. It really messed with me as a teenager. But I also think there's something to be said about like, it's okay to leave, you know, like who are we impressing? You're going to stay in a marriage that isn't serving you anymore just because, you know, you don't want people to hear that you got divorced or, you know, think this of you. And it's just, it's not worth it. There's this like very beautiful side of realizing like that was who I was. This is still who I am. And there are pieces that are just forever intertwined, and that's okay. You can take something that felt like a joint identity and rediscover it as just you. And I think that that's been a huge gift in this whole process. And it took time, you know, time is a great help with so many things. But yeah.
Yeah. That was just perfectly said, and you know, and also, yeah, there's so many different perspectives to look at it, you know. Yeah, like recently I had an ex-fiance that recently, you know, died, and I ended getting married to him, but we were together for a number of years. It was a long-term relationship. But you know, looking back, I took it as, you know, I remember the good parts of it, and there were so many things I learned from him that became a part of me to this day, you know, that, you know, just the way he would view the world, you know, opening my perspectives on things, him introducing me to, you know, you mentioned being more adventurous. And so he introduced me to that, you know, being more adventurous and maybe camping more or whatever, you know, and you experience things I never would have, like good experiences. Of course, there were bad experiences or else, it would have continued, right? Yeah. So, but, you know, there were good experiences. And I think when you focus on, you know, the good parts and, you know, and how it kind of opened you up as a person, you know, because this is another human being that's bringing in their good traits into the relationship. And obviously you have your good traits. And there's times when you kind of better yourself, right? So I think it just, when you focus on and just be grateful for those, you know, mm-hmm. loving and magical moments that right. become a part of you, it kind of like, you know, it kind of eases, well, from in my experience, it just eases the, you know, the, oh my gosh, you know, I was so many years or whatever type of thinking you can go into that's negative about, you know, a chapter ending like that. Right. So
I think you do a disservice to yourself in trying to write off any sort of period in your life as being completely worthless or completely, I want to forget about that entirely. I mean, I shouldn't say ever. I mean, some experiences are just outright terrible start to finish. But, you know, I think it's hard because it's painful, you know, to look back, and it's a lot more comfortable to hold on to the anger. And I used to say that I missed my anger. Because it was sort of, it would fuel me and it would get me kind of fired up and it would give me sort of something that I could stew on. And that was a more comfortable feeling than just being like, there were some really beautiful things that are no longer, but they were still really beautiful. And I'm not going to do a disservice to myself by trying to mentally shut out that part of my life because it ended poorly or because there were really rough patches. You know, I think ultimately that comes back to bite you because it's basically the same as not dealing with it, you know, just trying to say like, oh, well, you know, F him. And that's easy. Actually saying like, these were the beautiful things. This is what I want to take away from this. This is what I learned about myself, about the world. You know, I think it's harder to sit with what you've lost. But ultimately it kind of makes you realize what you gained from that experience and that you can still take that forward. The relationship is over, but you still have what you learned and how you grew and how, you know, I always say I feel really lucky that I get to do it again. You know, I'm engaged and there's things that, you know, ways that I know that I can be better in a relationship and I take the good and the bad from my previous relationship and just try to apply it to everything going forward. And yeah, I think it's more helpful than just trying to completely block out a time period and say, you know, screw this person. That was such a waste of time. I don't believe anything is a waste of time. It's sort of like what you decide you're going to do with it once it's over.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I don't, there were just so many lessons that were learned. And it happened for a reason. Like we were both, obviously, you know, that relationship did happen for a reason. It served a part of my evolution, his evolution, you know, cause you can't help but grow when you share, you know, a life with another human being and you're sharing activities together and you're bonding and, you know, you just naturally you'd grow. I mean, that hopefully you're growing in yes, some regard.
Exactly. It has to be right. Constant growth.
I mean,
what I've learned about life.
Compromises, cooperation, yep. Communication, right? How you're showing up in the relationship. And then when it ends, you do grow even more because then you can reflect and go, well, how was I showing? How did I deal with that? You know, and figure out how to basically navigate relationships in a better way in the future or who you really want, what type of relationships you want to mold in the future too. Like, so you can create a healthier relationship as well. So there's nothing lost really. There's a lot to gain, right?
Yes.
As a result of it. And right. I think that's the beauty where solitude comes in is that you really get to see that when you're in solitude.
Yes.
And absolutely. Understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, at first I started just having, you know, I'm focusing on the negative parts of myself, but then that continued solitude, it's almost like you start to bore yourself. Like you're like, okay, I've beat up on myself for like a month and a half. Like, let's get it together. Like, what are the strong things about my personality? What am I capable of? And I think that both of those parts were important. Like you have to grieve. You have to cry. You have to have days where maybe you don't get out of bed. And I had a lot of them, you know, and I just think that both of those parts of the process are equally important and shouldn't be skipped over, especially the uncomfortable parts. And when you're alone, it's impossible to skip over it. You can't. And yeah, I think just like the solitude really is such an incredible healer And I never thought I'd, like you were mentioning high school, I was like a social butterfly for all of my 20s. I was in and out of living in a van, crashing on friends' couches. There was always people around. There were people everywhere. There were dogs everywhere. You know, I had this group of friends in Salt Lake who are still my best friends. And it was like 10 of us all the time, just crawling all over each other's houses. And so solitude was terrifying to me. And now I'm like, I can't live without it. Like this afternoon, I'm going to go take a walk with the dogs by myself. And it's going to be my daily exhale. And I just, I don't know who I would be without that. I know for a fact that the amount of growth that I experienced would not have come to pass without that solo time.
Yeah. And it's not only do you gain insights and your intuition increases and you gain more resilience and all of these great gifts, but it's also like you can enjoy your own company. And you know, there's a certain peace and harmony that yes. goes with, you know, time when you're in solitude, you know, yeah. it's just, and for me, it's like a recharge as well. You know, I feel like I'm recharging my batteries and then I can go and enjoy spending time with loved ones and friends yes, and, exactly. you know,
you yeah. show up as a better version of yourself, I think, when you're not trying to spread yourself too thin, or when you're able to acknowledge, like, I know what I need. Like, I know that I need that time for myself. And that's really, it's like, to me, that was such a measurement of growth when I sort of re-entered the world and just sort of felt this very strong calling of like, you need some time. And I think previously I would have ignored that because it would have been too scary. But, you know, now it's like, I do all of my writing usually when I'm out walking around in the middle of nowhere, like writing books on my phone. It's just, that's where the thoughts come. It just feels free in every way. And I think beyond being comfortable being by myself, I have a blast by myself. Like I am genuinely very good at entertaining myself at, you know, I'll just put music on and just dance in the middle. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm perfectly content with my own company. So much so that I look forward to being on my own. And that was not a feeling that came overnight. And I think that that's why people don't want to stick with it, because it's uncomfortable at first. And it's not like day two gets, it's totally better on day two or like week two. You know, it is like having this practice of being on your own, even if it's not for extended periods, even if it's, you know, a day, a week, or you set a little date with yourself to go somewhere a couple times a week. You know, it is, you're like teaching yourself a new skill, which is so strange because we're obviously with ourselves all the time. But we really, I think, have to retrain our brains, especially now with social media and the internet. And it's just this constant barrage of information and ideas and opinions, and you should do this. And, you know, I think that it's just impossible to really get to the root of who you are when there's so much in the world that's trying to tell you who you are or who you should be. That's the big one, right? Who you should be, how you should be handling something. And when you just remove that, when you remove all that noise, I am convinced you will find that little tiny voice that I kind of found that was like, you got this, it's uncomfortable, breathe through it. You know, there's something good on the other side of this. And you just start to feel it. But I don't think that that comes in a world where you're reading every single self-help book on the shelf and you're kind of constantly listening to every podcast. You know, it's great, obviously, but that solitude, and you know, what is the point of listening to podcasts like this or reading books if you can't then go and take the time to really sit with it and think about it and apply it, as opposed to, you know, we read one thing, we scroll, we read the next thing, we scroll, we read the next thing, we scroll. And so, yeah, I think that solitude can look so different. But I definitely think that it's very important for anybody in any stage of their life, even if you're doing great, right? Like even if you're not in a dark place, having that in your tool belt for the rest of your life is so critical. Like looking forward, things seem less scary to me. Because I'm not afraid of being alone. And I know that I've gotten through a dark time on my own. And so I'm not afraid to take risks. I'm not afraid to speak my mind. I'm not afraid to ask for what I want anymore, because if it doesn't work out, at the end of the day, I have me. And that's a very new feeling for me, and one that I'm really enjoying. I think it also helps that all this started happening in my 30s. If this happened in my 20s, I don't know that I would have survived it, but just kind of really, I think you start to come into your own and you feel like, I don't really care what the world expects of me so much anymore. That dwindles by the day. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Plus, you know, you're better, for me, my experience, you know, it's, you're better able to navigate around, you know, other people's opinions or what they want to like throw at you in terms of satisfying their own ego or whatever. You know, in personal development, we always say that's them. It's about them. It's not about you. But it takes building muscle to really get to the point where you're not affected by what they do or say. And then when you spend time in gratitude, I mean, in solitude, I'm always saying gratitude instead of
honestly,
solitude.
Honestly, it's both. I think both.
So, you know, you really do build that muscle in terms of, because then you really know who you are and you have more of an understanding of, you know, that really is just their ego or just their way of feeling significant, yes, or whatever it is. It's really their stuff, you know. Because it is, you know, doesn't happen. Oh, you know, I heard this personal development guru say it's about that, and oh, I get it. No, it doesn't happen like that, you know.
Right.
It's a part of the process to gather information, but once I think for me, the solitude really did help immerse myself into that understanding, you know, about personal development and personal growth and becoming more self-reliant and tapping into my intuition, and just, you become more stronger as a person. You're not, you know, a lot of people are terrified of making their own decisions and they start to like seek out all the opinions of their friends or maybe their parents, because it's like, oh, I don't, you know, because everyone's so scared of making the wrong decision.
Yeah.
When you start to experience, you know, being strong alone in solitude, really getting to know yourself and really, I'm going to say, uncover real truths, you know, mm-hmm. real truths about life, real truths about yourself. You no longer are so reliant on the opinions of others to help make your decisions, you know, because I think that's a big part of navigating through life is a lot of people are scared to make the wrong choice, you know, right. And a lot of self-doubt. And this is what prevents people from really tapping into their intuition. It's that self-doubt. So mm-hmm. in solitude definitely helps to tap into that. And obviously you mentioned meditation, you know, when you were uncomfortable and you wanted to vent to somebody, you started to be productive and it turned into like a meditation. So that's another thing too, that people, can misconceive about meditation. They just think you have to be in a lotus position and close your eyes.
Yes.
I mean,
I am not good at that kind of meditation, believe me.
So like doing, like when you wash the dishes, for example, like a lot of people go into a meditative state when they're manually washing their dishes because you're repetitively doing something over and over again without thinking.
Yes.
And you just trance out, you know, same thing with driving. If you've driven to one place a million times on the highway, you know how to get there. You're, you know, you unconsciously know to drive. We don't have to think about driving. We don't have to think about where to get. We just do it automatically. So we're in a trance. Same thing with walking, you know. So we can get that trance effect without sitting in that lotus position.
And I think I kind of liked that too, because in the beginning, like silence was very scary. Like that's sort of, I was running from that a little bit in the beginning. So I was like, busy yourself. And I was surprised to find that meditative quality in something, because I was very much kind of bought in to the fact that meditation and really kind of sitting with yourself was lotus position sitting with yourself. And I thought, oh God, I don't know if I'm ready for that. So yeah, having that kind of just those mindless, and like a dirt road cures everything for me. So when you said driving, I'm like, all of my best ideas come to me while I'm driving or walking, or, you know, cause it, yeah, you're, it's like your brain is in that kind of trance mode. And yeah, that was a very beautiful thing. And I love what you said about, you know, just all of the information that we have and all the opinions, and like people can be very well-meaning. And I love that mental health is being talked about. But I also think that people can get caught up in like my depression and my anxiety. Yes, it is a clinical diagnosis that I share with many people, but it's still very much a unique experience to me. And so it can be helpful hearing how other people have dealt with things, hearing how other people cope with things. But if you hear too much of that, you drown out your own, you know, knowledge of yourself. And I remember, you know, I had met somebody very shortly after my divorce. And, you know, to this day, I truly believe she was very well-meaning, but it sort of exposed me to the kind of person who I describe, like, sees a person as a project as opposed to a person. And I think that can feed sort of our almost like our desire to heal ourselves, right? We're all great at giving advice, a lot harder to take it. And after a while, I just kind of realized like these things that you're sharing might work wonderfully for you, but I don't know if it works for me. And a lot of times when you push back, you get met with like, oh, well, you're really losing it because you're not healing in the way that I think you should heal. And that was also a really big indicator for me that I was like, okay, I think it's time to go and be on my own. That was almost like a final straw when I was like, now people have been telling me how to grieve, how to do this, how to deal with this online bullying, how to move on, how to start dating again. Just, you know, everybody had all of these opinions and, you know, it gets really loud. It gets very loud. And again, I think people are very well-meaning. And I think even like talk about silence and solitude, I think it's really hard for people to just even sit and listen to someone else's struggles without offering, like quickly being like, oh, you should read this book, or, oh, I listened to this podcast. And, you know, and again, that's fine. But it also is like, I think we're all so desperate to believe there's like a cure-all, like we're finally going to find that one book, mm-hmm. that one quote, and it's going to change our whole lives. And like maybe it's a stepping stone to changing your life, but you got to keep stepping. You have to mm-hmm. keep moving beyond, you know, and again, like circling back, I think taking all of this information, the only way you really are going to weed out what speaks to you is once it's quiet, you know, and you can actually hear what sort of is resonating in your mind and follow that path, as opposed to like, oh, here's another thing. Oh, there's another thing. And yeah, I think that sort of benefit of it is just also really serves to remind you that you know you. And I let a lot of people tell me who I was for quite a while when I was really, really low and really just like, I don't think I'm worth anything. Why on earth would I not believe these people who are saying I'm horrible and terrible and everything was my fault and this, that, and the other. And yeah, I think that, you know, realizing that in that quiet time, like I know who I am. You know, I might have believed people, I might have bought into some sort of TikTok therapy or something, but at the end of the day, I know who I am. I'm the only one who's going to fix me. Obviously, we have therapists and our, you know, we do, you know, we need support systems for sure, but you have to do the work, you know, I really did used to think like, well, I've been going to therapy my whole life, so I'm doing the work. And I wasn't. I was starting but it's scary to start really doing it.
Yeah, I completely, totally resonate. Loved everything that you said. And I'm sure my audience is like just really taking this in. And I don't think enough people talk about the power and the gifts that come from solitude. I think more and more people really should be talking about it. I mean, I discovered it, you know, just, I don't know. I think I just kind of went into it with, and just like you said, you don't enjoy it right away. It's definitely a process, and it's very uncomfortable. And it brings up, I would say negative feelings initially, because it's something that we're not conditioned to be in society. This is not something that's, deemed as a cool and sexy way to live.
I mean, I joked in the prologue of my second of Never Leave the Dogs Behind, it was like, took me no time at all to become a walking caricature of like the crazy lady up on the hill. You know, that's what we societally think about when we think of solitude, the cat lady, it's sort of painted as this, you're crazy. And sometimes I felt crazy, I definitely had a few days there, but I just think it's so crazy to me how scared people are when I explain how I lived during that time period. And people are like, what? Whereas I'm like, once I had sort of started working through things, I have never felt so safe in myself when I was on my own. And yeah, I just think like getting to that point takes discomfort. Most good things take discomfort. I always say like all of the things that have made my life what I wanted it to be were terrifying, financially concerning. I've taken a lot of leaps and a lot of risks, and not a single one of them has been smooth sailing. And so I think that's always a good reminder when you find yourself kind of at the beginning again, I was afraid. I was afraid to buy the van. I was terrified to quit my job. But I was like, but you did it anyway. So here you are again at the beginning of something and you're terrified. You know how this goes, you're used to it by now. Same thing, back east when I moved out west, I didn't know anybody. Everybody looked at me like I was crazy when I said I was going to move from Connecticut to Utah, and this was almost 14 years ago now. And, that was terrifying. And I can't imagine what my life would be like had I not done all of these really, really uncomfortable things. And I just, it's like so cheesy, but it's like the only way out is through. And it's so true.
Yeah, it's true. It really is true. Just go through it, release our fears, release our anger out of our body, through crying or through, being in bed, because our body does get weaker when we're sad, right? So it's just, we have to go through the release, and then we have to just, go through being the observer of our own life in terms of what we've, how we were showing up in life and what we were doing and how we reacted to things. And also too, having those gifts of solitude and having those things come up like real truths, it could be an excellent blueprint that you can design to write out to, if you want to work with a therapist as well, to actually really hone in on really what you should be focusing on in the therapy session. Because instead of, because sometimes the therapist has to sit and ask a bunch of questions, dig deep and listen to you, take notes. I mean, it could be a very long discovery process as to what you need to, focus on and shift or whatever, through effective questions, of course, and to get it to pull that out of you. But at least with the solitude, is just you're really focusing on real truths. Yes. Because you're in solitude, you have nothing to distract yourself with, or, I think, it's easier when we're in an environment of distraction, whether we're turning to Netflix all the time, or listening to a bunch of people's opinions, whether they be friends or family, to get caught up in their illusions of what right. is or what should be. So like we mentioned prior, the solitude kind of really gives you more insight, real truth, because you're just, you have nothing to distract yourself with. You're really right. just faced with your own inner. So it really gives you a real true guide map, if you do want to work with a therapist, as to the truths of what you really want to go deeper on and, explore, because it's so easy.
That's such a great point about kind of, I feel like so many people are so intimidated of therapy because they're like, well, I don't know what to talk about, or I don't know what I want to talk about. And it's like, how often do we sit down and like ask ourselves questions, and ask ourselves, take sort of a temperature of where we're at. And I think that's why it's so interesting that people go to therapy and they're like, I'm not really sure what I talk about. And then they become like total therapy addicts, because they're like, I had so much to talk about and I didn't even realize how much I had to talk about. And I think too, just being like the biggest thing with therapy, this is kind of a random aside, but was I think it also helped me, realizing that everything's all tangled together. My childhood, I have a very difficult relationship with my father, still relatively non-existent. but that has tied in to a lot. And it's kind of like, again, I don't think that therapy and, writing or journaling or spending time in solitude, I don't think that has to mean you need to lay out your whole life, go back through, pick things out that you would get rid of, figure out exactly where this came from. Why do you do that? Why is this your behavior? It's just more accepting that like, it's all just intertwined. And it's not about finding out like how to extract things and remove them permanently. Cause good luck. If anybody figures out how to do that, let me know. Let me know if you can just selectively remove certain experiences from your memory, I think it's just kind of realizing that it's all intertwined and like, that's okay. And there's ways to cope with the great things that came from something and the negative effects that might last for a very long time. I mean, I know that my relationship with my father has really impacted so many aspects of my life. I mean, how could it not? The abandonment of a parent is a very difficult, still I'm 34 years old. My dad left when I was 16 and I struggle with it a lot. And I think, that solitude really helped me with that as well, in sort of connecting some of those dots between things in my past that I thought were just completely separate events or separate sort of things. And then realizing that it's all got to do with everything, everything kind of has to do with everything. And that can be really overwhelming, or it can kind of set you at ease and say like, I just have to deal with it all. I've got to take the good and the bad and everything that comes from my life experiences, because there's really no other way. You're not going to separate things. You're not going to read that one book that's going to just change your life. That's it. It's work. It's continued checking in with yourself. There's no better way to check in with yourself than to take some time to only have yourself to check in with, I'm prescribed solitude. That's my go-to.
Yes. I think it should be prescribed to everyone to have moments of solitude. Cause it really does makes you own your own energy, makes you understand your own energy better. And, you just own yourself, and nobody, you become unshakable, unstoppable in terms of not allowing others to derail you or influence you, you know, or scare you into something or whatever it is that would stop you from owning your own truth and just doing, you know, whatever it is that you feel like you're meant to do in this world, you know?
Well, and so, as someone who always struggled with feeling like I needed acceptance, I mean, hello, Instagram was like heroin for someone like me who was like, am I okay? Am I good enough? Oh God, I have all these like abandonment issues. And, you know, I really kind of leaned on that a bit. And I realized that there was no better feeling in the whole world than having acceptance for myself from myself. Mm-hmm. And that was a sort of, that filled what kind of felt a bit like a void, because how unpredictable and scary to feel like you can only get approval and validation and comfort from other people. Because other people are lovely sometimes, and sometimes they're very not lovely. And so, you know, to be able to always have yourself to come back to is, you like, unshakable. I love that. Like, it's just made me feel like my feet are on the ground, you know, and storms may come, whatever, but like, I know where I stand. My feet are on the ground, and it's because I took the time to learn who I was. And believe it or not, a time of tragedy and grief is a good time to learn about who you are, if you're kind of willing to face it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's something a lot of people can relate to, whether they're aware of it or not, is that feeling of acceptance and validation, which comes in all forms, whether that's, you know, constantly needing that from your employer or constantly needing that from your peer groups, or attention in general, whether that be through social media or what have you, or even how you deal with breakups, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, this isn't, you know, just take it with grace and just move on, or, you know, or you're going to just like, stay in that and get into a whole, I guess you could say, like, pity party or whatever it is, a resistant energy. Yes. You know, it really, because there's so many aspects of life where you can constantly seek the approval and validation of others, because you can interpret all of those things that I've mentioned as rejection, abandonment, right?
Yep.
And so, but if you, again, through the power of solitude, you're not abandoning yourself. You're actually showing up for yourself when you're in that solitude. So you will no longer really feel abandoned by anybody, you know, as a result of really leaning into the power of solitude, because you become your own best friend. And, you know, I can go on and on about the gifts of solitude, because I really, truly understand.
It really is. It's, I absolutely love it. I encourage everybody. And, you know, like I said, that could be, you know, I love going out to dinner by myself. And that was, I remember in the beginning thinking like, oh, that's going to be kind of weird. Everyone's going to think I got stood up or something. And then I'm like, no one's looking at you. No one cares about you as much as you care about you. And I just, it was almost like my little, it was a good place to start of being like, here's a thing that is even like kind of societally uncomfortable. People will kind of be like, you know, depending on where you go. But just little things like that, it's like a great stepping stone to like really overcoming this fear, because it seems scary. It is scary. And then all of a sudden it goes from being scary to just being like a portal, like something has been opened. And yeah, I mean, I think as soon as I realized that I could have fun by myself, that I could enjoy my own company, it's kind of like the world opens up. You don't need other people to go and do certain things. It'd be kind of hard for me to find somebody who could spend the winter, the whole winter in Baja. You know, my job, I'm very fortunate. I'm a writer, so I could do that from wherever. But if I was going to sit around and wait for somebody to, you know, if I wasn't just okay with being on my own, it's like you cheat yourself out of a lot of experiences and opportunities if you think that you can't just try them on your own. And so I think I didn't want to like wait for the next, you know, I think I wrote something about the first time that I drove to Baja by myself for the winter and just thinking like, I always thought there would be someone in the passenger seat, but I'm not going to wait. So I'm just going by myself. And yeah, just how empowering that is. And then it also sort of makes you feel like I remember starting to date again, which was so bizarre because the last time I did that, I was 18 years old. but just sort of kind of being like, oh God, you know, I come with a bit of a strange situation. I'm like a crazy lady up on the hill with four dogs and two snakes and a trailer and no bathroom, you know, like no running water. It's a little intense. You know, went through this gnarly divorce. I've got this online harassment thing going on. I'm a bit of like what do I bring to the table here? Besides chaos. And then I sort of like, once I started having all of these cool sort of stories that I could share about something that I had done or a trip that I had taken, I was like, well, what have you done that you deserve to hang out with me? What do you bring to my table? Because I'm starting to really arrange a beautiful table here on my own. And I think that having that foundation was also that foundation of being comfortable on my own was actually so healthy going into my next serious relationship, was just feeling like this feels safer, trying new things, trying, you know, meeting new people, whether it's friends, whether it's whatever it is, if you have that sense of safety within yourself, everything is just a little less scary. And we could use all the help we can get, right? If anything that makes anything a little less intimidating, we can take it. And we all have the ability to find solitude, you know, even if it's for a short 20 minutes or an afternoon or something. You know, you can start small and see huge benefits.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. So I highly recommend everybody to, you know, go buy Brianna's book, Never Leave the Dogs Behind, you know, and you'll get great, great insights into more insights into what we've been talking about, and really get to see more of that day-to-day life of her journey when she's in isolation in a remote location with just her and her four dogs, to really gain insight, you know, into what that would be like, and maybe, you know, get inspiration. And you don't have to go as extreme as going into a remote location, you know.
Need any tips on that?
But if you do, that's cool too. If you really, you know, people have, and they come back like Brianna with these profound insights. I think it's that movie that Reese Witherspoon, she starred in with the woman after her mom died. She took
Wild.
Yep. So, you know, there are people like who've done this and come back with these profound, profound insights and strength and resilience, and really catapulted their life afterwards. Even Eat, Love, Pray. She wasn't really in isolation though. She just kind of just took a journey into Europe or what, you know. So, but she learned meditation and she, yeah. However, anywho, it was kind of similar. But yeah, so if you want to go and take that big leap, this book may inspire you and maybe get some big tips on how to take that big leap. Or, you know, if you just want to go and take a week in solitude by the beach, the ocean, you know, rent out a little condo or whatever and not be so drastic, that's cool too. This book will inspire you to do that too.
Right now. I would love to go do that right now. It's snowing here. I want to go to the beach.
So it's published by HarperCollins. You can purchase it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, offline bookstores, you know, online bookstores. It's every so Brianna, I know you have like over 300,000 followers on Instagram. Do you have a website where they can also like learn more about you and maybe purchase the book on your website as well?
Yep. Yeah. So it's just briannamedia.com. And links to both of my books are on there. Some trips, my upcoming book tour in April. I'm gonna be driving the big orange van full of dogs all over the West. So, yeah, everything's on my Instagram and my website, briannamedia.com.
Okay, and your handle is @Brianna. Media.
Media.
Is that your
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's your Instagram. So yeah. Her links will be in the show notes in terms of her website and Instagram page. And I highly, highly encourage everyone to buy her book, Never Leave the Dogs Behind. So thank you so much for being a guest today on the Happy Being Well podcast. It was a true, true pleasure speaking about this topic. I mean, I think you're the only guest, that I got to indulge into this topic. It's like one of my faves. And not a lot of people are talking about it. So I just love when people actually do. It's just, it really is a game changer.
Yeah. So, this was great. This was great for me because obviously I don't know too many people who are all about the solitude, but we're going to push it. It's going to become a thing. I can feel it.
I think it kind of is a little bit. I don't know.
This is true.
Like with the younger generation, I'm a millennial, the Gen Xer, not Gen Xers. Gen Z. Yeah. Yes.
God.
Gen Z. I think it is becoming sort of a thing with them. Yeah. And maybe,
I feel
you know,
like they're ahead of the game on everything.
Yeah. Yeah. They learned from our mistakes.
Yes. Drinking water from a fire hose, I believe those folks.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a wonderful, wonderful week. It was a pleasure having you on. And for everybody else, if you're not subscribed, subscribe so you don't miss another episode of the Happy Being Well podcast.
If you learned something new or were inspired to live happy being well, please be sure to subscribe to the Happy Being Well podcast so you don't miss an upcoming episode. Also, please feel free to leave a 5-star review, including what you learned or what inspired you in today's episode. This podcast is presented by happybeingwell.com, your online store for natural wellness products, so you can live happy being well. Order your next all-natural essential oil, all-natural face mask, all-natural bath soap, all-natural deodorant, herbal tea, crystals including crystal home decor and kitchen items, irresistible leggings, and much more at happybeingwell.com. Free shipping on all orders within the USA.